This morning, we are going to talk about the Apostle Nathaniel this morning. And so, I'm not even sure which one we're on by now. We're into this a little ways. Number five or number six, maybe, is where we're at right now with Nathaniel. And so, we continue on. So, I want you to turn in your scripture, in your Bible this morning, to John chapter 1, verses 45 through 51. Now, you remember a couple weeks when I was here, we had a message on Philip. Now, Philip and Nathaniel, they're pretty close friends. They do a lot of things together, and their stories here, they intertwine a little bit. So, last time I preached the sermon was on Philip. We did some of these same verses. But today I want to read these, but I want you to read these through the eyes of Nathaniel and what he's doing and what his life is about. He makes some pretty drastic comments in the reading this morning. Notice what he says. So, we're going to talk about that. And so the Apostle Nathaniel, what he's like as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Beginning at verse 45. Philip found Nathaniel and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And here's Nathaniel's response. "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is a true Israelite, in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." He then added, "I tell you the truth. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." The reading of the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we've opened your word today, may you bless us with your presence of your Holy Spirit. Lord, may these words be your words, and as they leave my mouth, may they resonate with those that have gathered here this morning. May you teach them, the Lord, the way to live in their lives, and may things be brought up within them that they can learn from your teachings. Lord, may you open their souls and their minds and their hearts to your ways through your Spirit. In Jesus, I pray these things. Amen. There was a time in my life, I must sadly admit, that I was not fond of Hispanic people. And let me tell you about my experience to help you better understand why I was not fond of them. My first experience was moving from West Lyon School in 1979, being an all-white school, to Valley in LaSalle, Colorado, the one that you see on the picture here this morning. In that school system, it was 50% Hispanic population. They came from different backgrounds. They grew up in different lifestyles than what I was used to in Northwest Iowa. Hispanics lived a very different way of life. I thought that all Hispanic people were rough, came from broken homes, which a lot of them did. Many of them would carry knives in school. They stuck together like glue against us white boys. Often our Hispanic neighbors, as we lived in Colorado, would come and check us out by asking us to jumpstart a vehicle for them that never really did have a dead battery. But they wanted to see who we were. They wanted to meet us in a way that was kind of on their turf and on their property. I remember one such time when my grandparents from Hall, Iowa, my grandpa and grandma Horseman, came to visit us, and I was maybe 10 years old, and these Hispanics drove on the yard with a kind of a beat-up car, and they were kind of ragtag looking, and these are the words from my grandpa, and my grandpa was a very biblical man that was in church every Sunday, and they drive in the yard, and he says, "Let's shoot them." That's what he thought of them. I thought, wow. So I grew up under that influence and thinking that Hispanic people were no good. They had no value to them. And what I had learned is that I had a very prejudiced heart towards different people groups, towards people that were not like me, that were not raised like me. Especially when you come out of Northwest Iowa, you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. And if you lived out of the area for a while, you really understand what that's about. But my view of Hispanic people was skewed greatly and was really was untruthful to the people that I met there in Colorado in the situations that I found myself in the way that I judged them. But God had changed my heart about these people and about others who are like them. I learned that everyone is a child of God. And so I will tell you how God changed my heart at the end of my message this morning. But let me talk to you about a man by the name of Nathaniel this morning. Nathaniel is a person who has a prejudiced heart. You might say, well, how do you know that? Where does that come from? And so let's unpack Nathaniel's life just a little bit. Nathaniel, also known as Bartholomew in Scripture. You've heard that name mentioned. You've studied that. You've read that from time to time as you read Scripture. Bartholomew means son of Ptolemy. So we know who his father was. Nathaniel means God has given. And so he is Nathaniel, son of Ptolemy. He's good friends with Philip, who actually brings him to Jesus. We studied that a few weeks ago. Outside of these verses in Scripture, though, we know very little about Nathaniel. I can tell you that he grew up in the town of Cana. What do we know about Cana? Where did Jesus perform his first miracle? Cana, right? What did he do at the wedding? Very good. He turned the water into wine at Cana. This is where Nathanael would have grown up, in this very small village, town that he lived in. Outside of that, we know nothing else about Nathanael. We don't know who his mother is. We don't know if he has brothers or sisters or anything of the like. But what we do know in these short few verses that I read to you this morning, we get a very good description of his character. What's he like? Who is he? And you see something that is very humanistic. He's like you and I. He's a sinner. He's not perfect. And I've been preaching this throughout the whole series, that these disciples are ordinary men that are called by Christ to do great things in the world like you and I do. Nathaniel has a prejudiced heart. So how do we know that he has a prejudiced heart? Look at John chapter 1, verse 46, and if you have your Bible open with me this morning, that might be a good idea, because we're going to look at a few of these different verses. But this is what he says when Philip comes up to him and says, "We found the Messiah. He's from Nazareth." And Nathanael just goes right off and says, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" You see what he just did there? What good can come from Nazareth? He just judged those people. He kind of put them in a category as less than where he maybe grew up or the people he was hanging out with. And so that's where we see Nathanael has a prejudiced heart. And that's what we learn about him this morning. A very judgmental statement that he just made in Scripture for us to learn from. Now, there's no rationale why he said that. There's no biblical understanding of why he said that. He just blurted out and he judged these people for who they were. What good can come from Nazareth? Now, granted, Nazareth was a rough town, mostly unrefined and uneducated. They were laboring people, not very well studied. Most of them probably couldn't read. So he probably was speaking some truth, but yet he still judged the people for who they were. And so we see this very human side of Nathanael on the way that he lived his life. Now here's the second point I want to make this morning about this statement that we need to understand. Can you about imagine that you've been reading the Scriptures, the first five books of the Testament, you've heard all these prophets speak that there's a Messiah that's coming. Jesus Christ, he's going to be the Messiah of the world. He's going to save us from your sins. He's going to save us from the world that we live in, and so on. And then Nathanael finds out that this Messiah comes from Nazareth. There's no way the King of Kings can come from Nazareth. That makes no sense. That little crappy town? That doesn't make any sense. There's no way that can happen. You can kind of see what Nathanael's thinking here. And so when you get prejudice in your life, it begins to skew the truth because you prejudge things. You and I both do that in our lives. There's no way that the Messiah could ever come from Nazareth because nothing good ever comes from there. And so hear this morning. Prejudice cuts a lot of people off from the truth. Did you hear that? It cuts you off from the truth. You prejudge something or someone before you might meet them or before you get to the situation. You think how it's going to go, or you think this is how the person will act or be. And you formulate that opinion in your mind before you actually experience what's happening or what's going on. And that's not a good situation. That's not how we're supposed to act as Christian people with one another and as we interact in the kingdom of God upon this earth. And I'm imagining that all of you right now, your gears are turning. You're thinking, yeah, I do this with people. Yeah, I've done this in the past. I can think of a time when maybe I really, really stepped out and I was hard on somebody or mistreated somebody from what I maybe thought of them or where they came from or the way they treated me. Prejudice is ugly. It keeps us from the fullness that God intended for us to be. And I'm afraid to tell you that every one of us carry some prejudice of some kind in our hearts. Now, you can begin to recognize it. You can ask for forgiveness and God will forgive you. But be careful and be aware that in your life you will have prejudice towards different things, different people groups, and the way that you might treat someone. Notice how you live life and your neighbors, how you treat them and someone you might meet on the street as you go about your life. Think about the Jewish nation of Israel. They had quite a prejudice against Jesus Christ. And you say, well, why? Because Jesus wasn't like them. Jesus, he didn't do things their way. He didn't follow their rules. And eventually, they were so prejudiced against him that they cast him out as an outsider and they crucified him. All because they were prejudiced in their lives. Often, people's ears are closed to the gospel because of prejudice. We deal with it today. Let me just bring up a few points. We deal with racial prejudice today. You hear that on the radio or on the news or in the newspaper, you might see it. Black Lives Matter, that seems to be a pretty common slogan nowadays. Nowadays that we deal with racism in our country, there's social prejudice, there's different classes of people that we live in within the United States. There's religious prejudice as well that we deal with from time to time in our country, and I could go on and on. We have classes of people. We have the upper class, the middle class, the lower class, the poor class, the rich class. Our schools and our communities are full of it. We have popular kids and we have unpopular kids. We have those that are well-known in communities having a lot of power and influence over others. And we have those that are kind of on the bottom that really get kind of pushed to the side. We make prejudice statements from time to time. Or you might have prejudice thoughts. Have you ever found yourself saying this? If those people would, as soon as you say those people, You've just crossed the line into being prejudiced because you just drew a line and created a whole different class or a whole different area in your life. You see, those need to be we in our lives. And prejudice is very feeling-based. Let me share a story with you. How many of you have heard of the man named Gandhi before? A few of you have heard of Gandhi? Yeah, he's actually, he was a practicing Hindu. But let me share a story about his life. In his autobiography, he wrote, during his student days, and he was quite young, and he was well-read and well-studied, a very intelligent man, grew up in India. There's a lot of unrest in India, and he wanted to do something about it, and he wanted to change the culture and the way people loved each other and so on. And so he seriously considered converting to Christianity. He believed that in the teachings of Jesus Christ that he could find the solution for the broken system that was dividing the people of India. And he read Scripture, and he began to see it and understand it, and so one day he decided that he was going to go to church and he's going to attend church services at a nearby church, and he wanted to talk to the minister after the message and about becoming a member and giving his life to Christ. And when he entered the sanctuary, Gandhi being pretty well known, the usher refused to give him a seat and he suggested that he go worship with his own people. And Gandhi left the church, and he never returned. And this is what he said in his writing. If Christians have such vast differences also, he said, I might as well remain a Hindu. The usher's prejudice not only betrayed Jesus, but also turned a person away from trusting him as Lord and Savior. Prejudice even shows up in church from time to time. Hopefully this message this morning will reveal to you maybe some of your prejudices that you carry. Nathaniel, like the rest of us, had that sinful tendency to judge people. So what's the cure? What's the answer? And of course, we always look to Scripture for what that is, and we see it's given to us right here in verse 46. And if you look at Philip's response to Nathanael in verse 46, here's the answer for the cure to prejudice. If you don't, now here's some Scripture, and I'm ad-libbing here a little bit. If you don't think anything good can come from Nazareth, this is Philip speaking now to Nathanael. He says to Nathanael, you come and see. Check this out for yourself. Go talk to this person. Get to know them, and you'll see that there's good that came from Nazareth through Jesus Christ. See how that works? Often in our own lives, we have preconceived thoughts and assumptions that mislead us, that cause us to have prejudice towards other people. We categorize people. We group them together as maybe being all the same, like I told you about how I felt about Hispanic people at the beginning here. And that's not right. That's a sinful thing that I did. And thankfully, God's forgiven me for that, and I've grown from that. But you need, and I need, to get to know people when we think that there are other people than us that are in different types of groups. Maybe they have a different skin type. Or maybe the way they cook their food is different than the way that you are used to cooking your food. Or whatever it might be. And here's what I want you to understand this morning. Who they are and why they do the things they do. We would get over our prejudice if we get to know them better and understand their lives. And why do they do the things that they do in their lives? Our ways are not the only ways. Now that might be hard for some of you to understand or to hear. There are other ways of doing things. And I think God gave us diversity just to challenge us as Christians. How are you going to adjust and how are you going to make this work? And can you still love within those midst of those things? I had to come and see to get over my prejudice for Hispanic people. in my life. And so here's how I did that. It was several years later, I had the opportunity to go on a mission trip in Tijuana, Mexico, to work and serve in an orphanage down there that was led by great Hispanic Christians that were raising these young girls in this girls' orphanage. And Dory and I, and we took a youth group down there, and we had other leaders there, and we lived there for a week, and we worked, and we ate with them, and we prayed with them, and we played soccer together, and da-da-da. And I really began to love those people. And I learned that all Hispanic people don't come from broken homes, don't carry knives, and they believe in Jesus Christ, just like me. And God healed my prejudice through that process. But I had to come and see and get to know those people to overcome that in my life. Met some great Christian people down there who are doing God's work. And it changed my view of Hispanic people. You know, this morning I want to leave you a couple of things that are also words of hope today. Nathaniel gives us great hope as well in these verses. And let me just finish that up as we go through verses 47 and 48 as Jesus has this conversation with Nathaniel. Look at his response when he sees Nathaniel coming to him in verse 47. When Jesus saw Nathaniel approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Wow. Why would Jesus say that? Because Nathanael just got done throwing him under the bus. What good can come from Nazareth? And the conversation continues on in verse 48. And Nathanael goes to Jesus and says, "How do you know me?" And Jesus says, "I seen you sit under that tree before Philip even came to you." Now, you need to know what maybe went on in the culture. They lived in small houses with a lot of people, and often they would leave those houses and they'd sit under a shade tree, and Nathanael was probably studying the Word of God. Jesus could see into his heart who he was. Now, he was a sinner. He had prejudice towards people. You've seen the comments made, and Jesus still says to him, "You have no deceit. For I know your heart." That's good news. Because you and I screw up. Right? We sin. And so Jesus still loves you and I. There's forgiveness there. And he confirms to Nathanael, "You know, you might have thrown me under the bus, but I still love you." What a great story. Because how many times have you thrown Jesus under the bus? I'm betting quite a few if you were to really sit down and think about it. Me as well. Yes. You know, Jesus was not there in bodily form, you know. So how, you know, Nathanael's thinking, "How do you know this stuff about me that I was maybe reading Scripture and you can see my heart and so on and so on?" And even though that he's a sinner, because Jesus was God. And Nathanael got that. And you see that follow up in one of the verses in 49, and he says this, "Then Nathanael declared, 'Rabbi, you are the Son of God.'" He got it. He understood it. And then he lived it. And he went all in as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Nathanael is proof to us this morning that God can take common sinful people and he can use them for his glory. Amen? Amen. Let us pray.